Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Last week, I went out to the letterbox and I found an intriguing bit of advertising. It was a magnet with a drawing of a hipster-looking bloke on it under the bold headline, Jimmy Brings. And what could Jimmy bring me, you might be asking? Well, wine, beer and spirits to my front door in 30 minutes. Yes, 30 minutes. It's kind of like Uber Eats, but for booze. A quick search online showed Jimmy was being marketed as a potential new best friend for me. He could also bring me cigarettes and snacks. You know, the things I needed to, as his marketing says, keep the party going without having to leave the house. And he's not the only operator in this space. Jimmy Brings is owned by Woolworths, and there are plenty of other big retailers in on this. It sounds kind of convenient, right? We've all been there. You have friends around for a dinner party. You've all had a few too many. Well, definitely too many to drive. The alcohol is running low. Wouldn't it be great just to have a couple more bottles of Shiraz, maybe even some tequila? Or remember your wife's 50th? You didn't order enough champers, did you? You ran out by 9 p.m. Well, I tell you what, Jimmy really could have saved you from the sin bin on that occasion, couldn't he?
How do you feel about the idea of being able to buy booze that's delivered in 30 minutes to your home?
I think it's an excellent idea because it might stop some people thinking they could go and get in their car and drive to go and pick up their alcohol. So I actually think it could add some positive benefits.
Personally, it's probably something I would make use of. It'd be convenient, but I can certainly understand why, you know, there'd be issues around it and, you know, with alcohol-related violence and all that kind of stuff, having such quick and easy access to it might not be the best thing. Similar with, you know, the quick, easy way to get fast food these days. But look, I'm the kind of person that I'd probably make the most of it because I like convenience and I like having a drink. So it'll work pretty well for me.
I can certainly see the convenience of it and the good things for it. There's two things that I'd probably worry about. One, people might drink more than they otherwise would, which could have, you know, implications for society down the track. And the other impact is, I guess we've seen Uber Eats. I wonder about the impact of that on restaurants. I wonder about the impact of having this service for pubs.
I think it's an excellent idea. Sometimes if I come home and I've been drinking, I'd like to go out and get some more drinks and I'm conscious that I've had too much to drive. So I think it's a great idea. It gets delivered. Easy done.
Now, these on-demand alcohol delivery services have been operating in other states for quite a long time, but they're relatively new to Perth. And I'm keen to know what kind of an impact they're likely to have, the good and the bad.
Come on, big fella, you drunk, big fella. Two sips and now you want to trip, big fella. You not a drinker. I can see it all in your leg, big fella. You wobbly, big fella. You feel full. Sit down, you drunk, big fella.
We're going to hear from Julia Stafford. She's a research fellow with the Alcohol Programs team at the Public Health Advocacy Institute, which is based at Curtin University. And Bradley Woods, the Australian Hotels Association WA CEO. Bradley, maybe you could start by explaining to us these on-demand services. How do they differ in terms of ordering booze to our homes?
Well, Jess, we've always had takeaway alcohol delivery services in Perth for maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 years. Not unusual for the suburban pub to have a delivery van that delivers to local businesses or homes, and people have a weekly order, or they might have a fortnightly order, or they just put in an order when they've got a party or a function. The difference here is the sort of approach to having an instantaneous order. So I suppose no different to what you see with other instantaneous delivery services, that this is one that promotes itself as you put the order in and it's at your door in 30 minutes if you live within the proximity to the delivery service area.
So the first I heard of this was when the magnet, as I said, dropped into the letterbox. Fairly new kinds of operations from the sounds of things?
It is, yeah. And I think this company is obviously expanding its operations. It's operated over East for a couple of years. And as you said, it's been acquired by one of the larger one of the larger corporations that have liquor retail in the country, and Woolworths, and the services they have. So this is definitely something that is very different for Perth.
Now, it's been around in other states for quite a while. Why has it taken so long to arrive in Perth?
Oh, could be a combination of factors, I suppose. Perceived demand, whether there's a commercial interest, how they would do it from a legislative or regulatory perspective, finding the right type of licence to enable the service. Not quite sure, but I think with any company there's always an approach to sort of, you know, rolling out over a period of time.
Who's behind these services? We mentioned Woolworths, but there's other big players in this as well, Julia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something that's taking off for a lot of bottle shops and packaged liquor outlets. We know that packaged liquor is huge. We buy so much of our alcohol from bottle shops these days. About 80% of alcohol sold in Australia is in the form of packaged liquor. We buy it from the bottle shop. And now the bottle shop's coming to us. That, you know, has some convenience aspects and some concerns with it. But largely, these seem to be the well-promoted on-demand delivery services are still part of these big bottle shop companies. It's your Dan Murphy's, it's your BWS and Jimmy Brings. And these are all companies owned by Woolworths. So this is still the big supermarket chains that already sell us most of our booze and now bringing it to our door.
So there is, as we discussed, a massive appeal here in terms of convenience. There's no doubting that. But how concerned are you that these services will allow a greater availability of alcohol in our community?
I think that's a huge concern from a public health perspective. So for people who are working in this field trying to reduce harms from alcohol, this on-demand liquor is not great news. So we know from heaps of research that the more alcohol is available, so the easier it is to access, the more we drink and the more harms we see from alcohol. So more alcohol in a community means more problems. So that's problems for police who deal with crime from related to alcohol, our hospitals, our ambulance services, our domestic violence services. These are all going to see the impacts of more availability of alcohol.
Let's go to Adam's already called in and he raises a pretty good point that I was going to get to later. But g'day, Adam. You've got a question about the responsible service of alcohol.
Yeah, there you go, mate. I'm just wondering about the responsible service of alcohol. The people that are holding the gathering of the party, obviously they've got a responsibility. But then the people delivering it, they're going to be responsible. And ultimately the people that are supplying it to the deliverer, they've got a responsibility. So where's the chain of responsibility in? Does it go all the way back to the CEO of Woolworths?
Thanks, Adam. I'll get a response there from Bradley Woods there.
So under West Australian legislation, the sale and the supply of alcohol is regulated. So the company that sells it and the person who serves it and supplies it to the consumer is responsible. And there is no get-out-of-jail card-free here. They have to ensure that they deliver responsibly. There is still responsible service of alcohol requirements. There's no exemption from that. So these delivery drivers must hold a certification to be able to sell and supply.
I think that is such a big question that this topic raises. How do we make sure that we're not supplying alcohol to intoxicated people or to young people, to kids who might be buying it online? How do we make sure that the delivery driver is willing and able to comply with those liquor laws? So I think it's a huge and unanswered question currently about how you make sure that these home delivery services, particularly ones that are in half an hour, how they are really going to be monitored, enforced to make sure that they are complying with those responsible service of alcohol obligations.
Bradley Woods.
Well, they still have to hold the licence. They still have to undergo responsible service of alcohol training. They can't work in the business unless they hold that certificate. There's no exemption here. So in the context of, Julia's right, these people must adhere to the law. They must sell alcohol and serve responsibly. We've got to make sure that these delivery drivers, whether it's same day or next day, are not delivering to minors or to people who are intoxicated. So I think I agree with Julia's question. I think the answer is that there is already legislation, regulations, training codes of practice. There's a national module of training for responsible service of alcohol. Those practices and procedures are in place. Companies need to make sure they adhere to them.
Now, the marketing
I was really interested in this when I got this magnet, had a look. The services make out that, you know, they're targeting those holding a party. They want to keep the party going, but they've had too many drinks. Ultimately, do you expect that will be the majority of their customers, Julie? What would the research show us?
I think your dinner party scenario will be one of the kind of markets that they're after, and that's a very nice one to think about. There's the not so nice parts of the kind of alcohol where, you know, it's the vulnerable people who are at home, who they're not at a party, they're drinking. There might be some problems in the home. These are often, you know, related to domestic violence scenarios. Occasionally, they're not always people that or scenarios where you want more booze involved. You don't necessarily want more alcohol to fuel more of these problems in the home, particularly late at night, particularly when there's no delay between ordering and it's showing up on your door. So I think there are some really key concerns here that are, you know, this is a rapidly changing scenario where, as you say, just recently, you know, we're only seeing this quite new and the regulations haven't caught up yet.
We'll get into those regulations in a moment and in a bit more depth, but what about in a family where a parent, for example, might have an alcohol related problem? And we just had a text in, what about the food on the table for the kids? Are they the ones that are likely, you know, because you can be impulsive with something like this, can't you? Is there any concern there from a health researcher's perspective?
Yeah, I think some of the new research that's coming out seems to be suggesting that young people are interested in these services, that some people who wouldn't be able to drive because they've already been drinking too much are using these services. So I think that's they're very real concerns. And you mentioned marketing, and I think that's an interesting one in this issue as well, because, you know, we're seeing so much very highly targeted, sophisticated marketing these days, particularly with social media. So if you use these services, if you Google these services, you are going to be bombarded with marketing in all sorts of places from then on. So for vulnerable people and young people who, you know, maybe these services aren't ideal, they're then going to be seeing this kind of very highly targeted alcohol marketing from now on.
Bradley Woods, it's pretty clever marketing, isn't it?
Oh, look, I think, Jess, is going to be a mixed bag here. Certainly the convenience factor is what they're targeting. The consumer, or as one of the callers mentioned earlier, you know, the disorganised person that hasn't organised the drinks properly for the party. There is obviously a small concern around the misuse and those people who are chronic alcoholics, and I think this is where critically the responsible service of alcohol laws, the training that's required, comes into play. But, you know, like any business in any part of the community, innovation and targeting the market effectively is part of their angle.
Touched on the regulation, Bradley Woods, but how well do you feel that this is going to be regulated? The government's promising regulations, we'll hear from them soon, further regulation, but are there mobile liquor licensing, you know, police out there checking that ID's being checked and that it's not being left at a door?
Well, this is part of the legitimate question, and the problem that the government would have to address is that in a hotel, a bar, a pub, takeaway liquor store, you've got supervision from managers and you've also got police observation, you've got CCTV cameras. There's always evidence around the question of whether alcohol is sold and served responsibly. When it's someone's private premises and the question is, have they checked to see if someone's ID? Is it leaving something on the doorstep without checking to see who it's been delivered for? Is the person drunk, intoxicated? You know, those are the questions. It's very hard to establish a proof of evidence. And this is the vexed question the government has to address. I think the important thing here is that we don't think alcohol is just any ordinary commodity. It's not like milk and bread. It is something which is a drug of adult choice that is legal and licensed, and it needs to be sold at a high level of responsibility.
There is an additional risk.
Absolutely. And we haven't we don't really have great processes for monitoring responsible service of alcohol, even on your traditional premises. So in your bars, your pubs, at your traditional bottle shops, we haven't really got great methods for and proper resourcing of those monitoring and enforcement measures. So how are you going to do that at, you know, front doorsteps all across Perth? It just, you know, these are, as we've said, huge unanswered questions that we should rightly be concerned about.
The other side of this, Jess, is it doesn't automatically mean that alcohol, when it's delivered, is being delivered to a drunk person either. I think we can't make that assumption all the time.
It's a good point. So you're saying that under the existing regs or whatever is already in place, that the person who is the deliverer will have to be, or already is, trained in responsible service of alcohol. They've got that training.
Under the law, they would be required to, yes.
But the issue is compliance.
Look, when you've got a legitimate corporate operator and company, I think their risk of this issue being, the risk of prosecution is too high. The penalties associated with having staff work for them that aren't properly trained, that are not certified, is too high. So I think in the case of the company that we've talked about this morning, there's likely to be that adherence. But, it only takes one or two others that decide they want to get into this business to not adhere to the proper requirements, the regulatory codes, the training, the certification, and you can see a very loose arrangement being put in place.
What are the rules? I think I've had alcohol delivered for a party once. Some companies left it on my door and others didn't. What does the law actually say?
Well, at the moment, the law is that alcohol should be served to a person. Now, the question of a wine delivery that's ordered interstate or from down south or somewhere and it's left unattended, I suppose there is a question mark there in relation to has someone signed for it or received it? And I don't know the answer to that, Jess. I think this issue is probably moving faster than what government legislation and regulation keeps up. But the critical difference here is we're talking about the traditional order service was that the product would arrive maybe the next day or two or three or four days later, or if it was a case from a winery, it might be a week later. This particular service is promoting a 30-minute round delivery from moment of order, like a pizza, from moment of order to on your doorstep. And that's the big difference, is that it's an impulse buy and it's treating alcohol as a very quick commodity, as a convenience commodity, as opposed to what it is, and that's a drug of adult choice that needs to be given serious consideration.
With Jess Strutt on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth. We did have a chat earlier with the Racing and Gaming Minister, Paul Papalia, about what the government plans to do in this space and exactly whether they're happy with the amount of regulation. Let's have a listen. Minister, have you got any concerns about the recent arrival of these on-demand alcohol services in Perth?
We recognise that alcohol delivery is an issue that we had to confront when we were doing the amendments to the Liquor Act last year, which is the biggest amendment to Liquor Acts probably in a decade. And so we included in that legislation the ability to make regulations to govern delivery of alcohol to the home.
Are you comfortable with how it's governed at the moment? Will there be further regulation around this?
Yeah, there will. We're not comfortable. That's why we amended the law to enable us to make regulations to govern this area. It's a kind of moving feast. It's a disruption in a way, but we recognised it last year that there was a gap there that needed to be filled, and we've been working on the regulations. It's a complex area, so it needs a lot of consultation with a lot of people. There's plenty of different players involved.
Okay, so just explain that for people who may not understand. There's legislation in place, you've updated that, but you need to, I suppose, move fairly swiftly on regulations to better control these new services.
Yeah, well, until we changed the laws last year, there wasn't even the ability to govern this delivery of alcohol. It wasn't foreseen in the past, and we've moved to change that. So we've got the power to make regulations now. It's about home delivery of alcohol. Essentially, the bottom line is, regardless of how alcohol is sold to customers and where it's delivered, in the end, we see there's an obligation or there's a requirement for anyone selling alcohol to people in the public that they meet obligations around responsible service of alcohol. And that's what we have to do. We have to provide the regulations that enable that to be monitored.
As a way of example, how is it regulated in other states?
I'm not sure that it's regulated anywhere properly. I think we may be leading on this as far as home service delivery There's a problem in that at the moment there's an expectation in the community that people can have alcohol delivered via couriers and the like, or companies that deliver food. Very similar mechanism where it can be left at the home. Now, I'm of the view that anyone delivering alcohol needs to ensure that the person they're giving it to is over the age of 18. That's the primary concern that we have. It's just about developing a regulation that enables that, really, covers that and ensures that people comply with that obligation.
So is it fair to say that at the moment there's laws covering it, but there's no regulations covering these on-demand services?
Yeah, well, there's laws covering all supply of alcohol and licensing for sale of alcohol to the public. But in the past, previous government hadn't noticed this happening. It's pretty clear, in my view, that there's an issue. It's a gap. People have started delivering alcohol, and in many cases, and during the debate in Parliament, some people actually defended alcohol being left on the front step with no one checking the ID of the person receiving it. I don't agree with that. It's just a challenge to meet all of the different parts of the market, because people would be aware that you can order wine, and that's a really important way of little wineries getting their product out to the market, having it delivered to people at home. So it's not just booze being left on the front step. You're talking about people being able to get online or use an app or a phone number and have something delivered by somebody really rapidly. So at the moment, that's not really covered by regulations.
You don't propose banning the ability of these operations or services?
No, I'd like to see a means of regulating it so people comply with their obligations if they're selling alcohol to the public, to ensure that the person receiving it is over the age of 18.
The health professionals warn that the rapid delivery of alcohol is a risky business model because it enables that continuation of drinking or intoxication, and there's no meaningful delay, as I explained, between obviously the purchase and delivery. Do you have sympathy in that argument at all in terms of the health concerns?
I want to hear it from everyone's point of view. I'm actually more driven right now by the possibility that a young person could have gotten hold of mum or dad's or someone else's credit card and through an app order alcohol and never encounter the person selling that alcohol to them, so they could be under the age of 18 through a perfectly legal mechanism right now be receiving alcohol. So that's one of the big gaps I want to close. The one you identified, it is potentially another. It's just a matter of getting a fair balance.
How quickly do you think you can get these regulations in place?
Well, the department and my staff have been are working with a lot of people, the sorts of people I told you earlier, or I mentioned earlier, for quite some time now. So it's a collaboration. We're not rolling out a heavy-handed approach. We're talking to everybody. Our intent is to try and accommodate as much as possible everyone's views. In the end, there'll have to be a compromise. Not everyone's going to get what they want. But we do need to regulate this area, and we'll do it as soon as we can. I can't give you a timeline, though.
The minister there, Minister Papalia, saying that, we're almost sort of leading in this space in terms of regulation because we did have a big legal reform last year. Is that right? I mean, what's happening in other states where these on-demand services have been operating for a while, Julia Stafford?
These services have changed really quickly. And, consumer demand has changed over time. We buy a lot of things online. Alcohol companies are capitalising on that. So these services have popped up or morphed and changed their form, quite quickly. And it's my understanding that all governments around Australia are grappling with this issue. This is something that's relevant to, governments in all jurisdictions. Because it absolutely is an appropriate responsibility of governments to regulate how alcohol products are sold. Alcohol is regulated for very good reasons, and it is excellent to hear that the minister and the WA government are keen to act on this and address some of the gaps on this issue, particularly that leaving it on the doorstep. That should never be okay, to leave alcohol on the doorstep, but you can currently. Some services do that, so that's a huge gap, and it'd be great to see the governments acting on this this issue of intoxicated people having ready access to even more alcohol late at night.
Just before we move on, in terms of the health impacts, do you acknowledge one of the things that was raised by the people at the start who I vox popped is that it would stop them, a couple of them said it's probably good, it would definitely stop me drink driving. Not that I'm saying they do, but it's that idea in your head when you've had too many, that judgment issue. Do you acknowledge that that would be, in a sense, potentially a benefit?
I mean, these services potentially reduce some people's willingness to drink and drive, but I think there are some bigger issues at play, bigger risks that are, very likely when people who've been drinking get access to even more alcohol, or when kids can access it easily. I think those kind of risks potentially going to outweigh some of those possible benefits.
I want to get into this threat to the bricks and mortar establishments, Bradley, particularly, they've got big overheads. There's lots of regulation involved to run a bricks and mortar establishment, bars, pubs, small bars. Is this really going to be a level playing field unless the regulation is right?
Well, no, of course not.
And, of course, the issue of takeaway alcohol and people drinking at home hasn't been a level playing field for as long as it's been advancing. What we've got to remember, of course, is that our hospitality businesses are the powerhouse of delivering jobs in the tourism industry. Over 50% of the jobs that are in the tourism industry are coming out of hotels, bars, restaurants, pubs, taverns. It's the hospitality sector that drives the employment and the demand for other services. So what we want to ensure is that people still have a great reason to go to their local pub, their local bar, their local venue, and that's where they're going to sense that true element of community within their local neighbourhood. It's quite often the community hotel, the community pub, small bar, whatever it may be, that delivers that sense of what the community is like and that sense of belonging, when people can just walk down the road and they can enjoy hospitality and good old-fashioned, quality food and beverage.
Because we have seen, as you say, this sort of threat from the likes of Uber Eats and Deliveroo. They are being, marked as a factor in the decline of our high streets in Fremantle, in Mount Lawley. I know Maylands is one of the new up-and-coming spots. Do you see a similar impact as these maybe get bigger market share?
I don't think it's going to take away the reason for people to go to their local venue. I think there'll always be reason for people to go to local venues. I remember when online dating first sort of became prominent about 10 years ago, Jess, and people said, this will be the end of the hospitality industry because people will just online date and meet. Well, the reality is I think online dating has created more business for bars and cafes and restaurants because they have their first date usually in a public place. They meet someone for a coffee or a glass of wine, and it's probably stimulated more activity. So I think we've got to be careful about, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But the reality is that a supervised environment where there's responsible service of alcohol conditions in place, there's a huge amount of work the industry does on educating and training every single day and year. And I think just in terms of ambience and quality of food and beverage presentation, it's much better to go to your local bricks and mortar establishment.
And we all know that with online dating, while you meet at a bricks and mortar place, it's so you can make an excuse to whip off rather than having them over to your house if it's not going well.
It's always a factor.
If you had one thing that you would want to see through the regulations, what would it be? I think Julia pointed out it's making sure that it's not left at the door and that it's not accessed by underage people.
I think the most important thing is the requirement to ensure that these delivery drivers are also trained in the responsible service of alcohol. That way it ensures they understand the proof of age requirement, the intoxication requirement, any of the other issues associated with not delivering alcohol in a manner that's likely to be abused or misused, like all the factors that can go wrong. If they're undertaking the training and it's a certified training and it's required as part of their employment condition, that's the most important starting point.
It is similar, isn't it, to this Uber taxi situation where there's regulators just trying to play catch up, Julia Stafford?
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit of the case of that. I think these services are moving really quickly. So There's no reason why we can't get good regulations in a reasonable time frame. Another aspect that we would like to see considered is that communities should have a say and control over how alcohol is made available in their area. And I think that's something that an issue that this home delivery raises. Some of these licenses seem to have been changing and adapting. So, you know, the community's never had an opportunity to have a say in whether they want alcohol delivered to their doorstep. So sometimes we've seen, a liquor store suddenly, you know, choose to also sell it online, or we're seeing some licences from interstate now delivering to our door. And, you know, our WA community hasn't had enough of a chance to have a say, raise their concerns as part of this. And I think that should be something that's addressed as well.
So, Julie, you're suggesting we have a statewide referendum every time a bottle shop decides whether it's going to do home delivery or not?
Well, when a licence when somebody wants to get a liquor licence, then often that is advertised. The public have an opportunity to have a say. There are all sorts of problems with that system as well, but they have an opportunity. And so why shouldn't that be the case with home delivery as well? Because many communities already feel that they have enough alcohol. They don't need more. So now it's being able to come to their doorstep. They should have a say in that.
When those licences are first granted, part of the condition of the license is takeaway alcohol, which can include home delivery. The issue here is not about the new nuance of the new concept of home delivery. It's about the concept of 30 minute from order to delivery versus what used to be 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 days. That's the key issue here. And I think the consumer obviously will vote with their feet of not ordering. But the point that is most important is those that are critically most at risk, recidivists, chronic alcoholics, and families that are affected, and also this question about responsible service to the right person.
I wanted to just, we haven't got too long left, but we were talking there about the community consultation. There's a lot of media focus about red tape involved in liquor licensing in Perth, okay? We've had stories about the length of time it takes to get bricks and mortar establishments approved, liquor licenses approved, the number of security guards you need for the number of patrons. There was quite a funny story about a small bar and the number of security they needed on. Near me in Maylands, a big liquor outlet, a big name brand, Knockback, because in part it was deemed to be a threat to more alcohol-related harm. And we were already also told too many bricks and mortar establishments. I mean, that all seems strange in the context where we've got seemingly open slather at the moment for these on booze demand. That's where the problem is.
It is, and it's a good example of where the anti-alcohol campaigners push and push and push so hard that they squeeze businesses into reverting to other types of delivery practices. You know, if that local Maylands business had been allowed to operate as it was originally granted the licence, it was turned into a political issue. There was a group of campaigners that decided they wanted to make an issue of it, and so that particular takeaway licence, that bottle shop, ended up going through all sorts of appeals and difficulties, and the government even changed the law. It just happened to be that bottle shop was owned by the same company that owns this one we're talking about right now in terms of the delivery service. If you put too much pressure on the liquor industry, it squeezed like a balloon. It's squeezed and squeezed and squeezed to the point that it'll eventually pop, and then we'll lose control of the market. And what we've got to make sure, the regulation is reasonable and the pressure is reasonable.
These are pretty powerful lobby groups, Julia. They'd probably be selling the booze one way or another. What's your take on that?
Well, governments regulate alcohol for very good reason, because it causes huge amounts of harm to individuals, to families, and to communities. And you raised one particular example where a big booze barn was refused because of existing concerns about alcohol-related harm in the community. You know, they are valid concerns that are borne out in our police stats, in our ambulance, in our hospital stats, and particularly, domestic violence services for vulnerable people, which were very relevant in that particular case. So, you know, these are good reasons that we should be controlling alcohol. And, you know, that goes for the traditional outlets and the on-demand outlets.
So my big thanks to Julia Stafford, Research Fellow with the Alcohol Programs Team at the Public Health Advocacy Institute of WA, based at Curtin, and Bradley Woods, Australian Hotels Association WA CEO.